Well, Mark Stewart, CEO of Stewart Golf of Great Britain, welcome to Golfers on Golf. And Mark, I know that you have a sensational new product that can help golfers get around the golf course a little bit better, especially if they want to get some exercise. They don't want to take a gas-powered cart, but you've come up with something pretty special. And tell us a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, first of all. So the products that we have are walking products primarily, but the unique thing about the products that we sell most is that we have a combination of remote control and follow technology. So what that means is that the golfer can choose, obviously when they're walking the golf course, they can choose whether to have the products following them along, so they're completely hands-free and just sort of admiring the driver just split the fairway with, or in other situations on the golf course, like around the greens or maybe around the tee boxes or on paths and bridges and things, then they can use remote control. And then obviously the third thing is our trolleys or our electric caddies, we're saying over here, they've got handles. So if you're in a parking lot or somewhere where you absolutely have to make sure you have control, then you can use the handle. So really got those three ways of playing, but most of the time on the golf course, it will be remote control or follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, let's fall back for a little bit. How long have you had Stewart Golf up and running? And tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and what made you decide to build a company to go into these type of products.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll start from the start, I guess. So it goes back into the very late 1990s. So what are we, 25 years ago, something like that now, nearly. And it actually started with an idea that my grandfather had. So he'd come up with an idea for a golf bag where you put the clubs sort of the other way up, as it were. So he was, I'm sort of from a family of engineers. So he was an engineer, and obviously engineers love designing things and seeing things in a different way. And had looked at the golf bag and thought, you know what, the golf clubs are the wrong way up. And so he lived in the north of England where it's just notoriously wet most of the time. I always hated having wet grips on golf clubs. So he thought, well, look, if you part of that obviously is rain, but part of it is actually when your golf clubs get wet, you can get moisture trickling down the shafts and onto the hand, onto the grips. So he designed this kind of golf bag where you put the clubs the other way up, and then you encapsulate the whole thing into a sort of a tube with a door on the front, so you can get the golf clubs in and out, and they would spin around on a carousel. So that was the first sort of the first idea that he'd had. At that time, I was about 18 or 19 years old, so I was about to go to university to study engineering. We're on a family vacation. I saw these ideas and thought, you know what, that's quite cool. So I ended up spending that summer making prototypes in the workshop at my dad's house, and that was kind of the start of it. So we never actually ended up making the golf bag because the problem was it ended up basically being just too big. So certainly in a lot of European cars, you can't actually put your golf bag in the trunk of the car because you have to take your driver out in your woods. Our golf bag would have been bigger than that, so it was just too big. But when we were doing the development for this product, we discovered that remote control was a really good way of playing golf. It gave you the freedom of the course, really. So rather than using either a pull cart or a push cart or an electric cart that's just got a little switch and a dial on to control the speed, we discovered a remote control. So we thought, well, you know what, if we make a really, really, really good remote control that looks really cool, performs really well, then we could have a product that people would want to buy. So that was kind of the start of it. And we launched the first product back in 2004 was when we launched the first one. So it's been a journey since then, really.
Well, Mark, I know that a lot of people here in the States, they look at pictures and they see videos and they you know, they watch some of these shows of golf courses, golf being played in the UK, be it Ireland, be it Scotland, be it England. And, you know, they see a lot of people out there with caddies, and you don't always see a lot of golf carts like we see here in America. And I know sometimes people want to get out and play, but and not take a cart. They want to get some exercise. They may not want to lug the golf bag. But so just tell us a little bit more about the whole concept of sort of, in essence, having a remote control caddy.
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing is to underline the differences between kind of the golfing culture when it comes to walking between the UK and the US in general terms. This is so in the UK, I think the statistic is 98% of golfers walk. So it's very rare to go to a golf club and in the UK and see more than three or four riding carts. And they're sort of around the side of the clubhouse, and people don't really use them. That's kind of the expectation. So pretty much everybody walks, and nowadays in the UK, the majority of people will be using an electric caddy of some kind. Whereas here in the States, it's obviously it varies hugely from region to region, and even in a lot of cases from club to club. But the number of or the proportion of walkers is generally speaking probably maybe 10 or 20%. So it's a sort of a different culture that we come from. But what we're seeing here in the States, particularly through COVID, is that people were kind of forced to walk a lot. And there seems to have been this almost this kind of discovery that a lot of courses that previously were considered unwalkable or too hilly or too long, actually, all of a sudden, people are walking these courses and go, you know what, I like this. I quite enjoy this experience of walking more. And there's a few things that come into that that I hear from our US customers. First thing, which is what I love about it, is walking the golf course is better, and again, to me, this is because you genuinely feel connected to the golf course. Sort of, obviously, literally, you are connected to it because your feet are on it. But I feel like you're kind of more present in the sort of in the experience. So you can, rather than rushing between shots, like you can do on a when you're driving a cart, you're walking and you've got a couple of minutes. I mean, for me, it's often more bad shots than good shots, unfortunately. But you've got time to consider what you're doing, really think about the next shot. And then the other side of it is part of the thing I love about playing golf is that it's actually a lot of the time spent in between the game, as it were. So the time when you're walking down the fairway with either people you might not know, sort of new people at the club, or you're with your friends and you're just enjoying the experience. So there's rather as opposed to if you're in a riding cart, you're normally with one other person and you jump in and out and you've got to go back and forth to each other's balls. And it's a sort of different experience. Personally speaking, I always kind of feel rushed when I ride in a cart, and then I'm not quite sure where it's supposed to be when I get to the green. Do I need to drive to the next tee and run back, or I'm not sure what lie I've got, so I take four clubs and three wedges and stuff with me to run to the ball. So it's a different kind of experience, and that's really what is the value in it for me.
Years ago, when I was a kid, I had a tough experience with what was the cart of the time. It was a pull cart. You basically reached behind you and you pulled it along behind you, and mine tipped over. It really messed up my arm and shoulder for a while and made me reluctant to go back to using any type of a pull cart. And of course, over the years, things evolved a little bit here, especially in the States, and they changed the carts around a little bit so you could push them. But, you know, some people don't want to feel like they have to get out and push, like they're pushing a lawnmower here, or have to reach behind them and tow the cart, and, you know, all of a sudden it hits a bump or something, and it's uncomfortable on the body to tow it along. So it's got to be, you know, I would say your cart makes it more enjoyable to be able to, in essence, take one of these carts, give it a mind of its own, and push the right buttons and let it walk along in front of you, to the side of you, behind you. It'll even follow you. I like the fact that you can program it to just follow you along. And so, you know what, I just think it really it allows for some exercise, but not the strenuous type of exercise that certain carts give you that could wear golfers out before they get through either 9 or 18 holes.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually some research that we're just about to release, where this was research done in Europe, where there was we've worked with a guy called Professor Graham Close, who's he works with the European Tour and a number of other major sports in the UK. And he's a nutritionist, so he wanted to find out definitively, actually, is carrying or pushing, is that a better workout, or do you use more calories when you push or carry as opposed to using an electric caddy like ours? And so this is a scientific study within an academic journal, I think, so it's all very rigorous. And what he found was that actually the calories that you use on a golf course, so in essence the amount of exercise that a player would get, is basically the same whether they carry, push, or use an electric caddy. So it's there is a difference, but I think that the difference accounted for something like 90 calories, which is like a cup of blueberries or something like that. So it was nominal. But what the exercise comes from the act of walking. We're talking about getting that exercise. A lot of people will sometimes the electric caddy kind of has this image that, okay, well, maybe it's an old guy thing, or I'll do that when I need to do it, but I'm young and I'm fit, so I'll push or I'll carry. And actually all that happens when you push or carry is that your heart rate goes up and down a lot more. So you feel like you're working harder, but actually you're not. The evidence is that that's not the case. So, well, the way that we look at this is obviously that's welcome news from my point of view, but it kind of confirms what we thought, in that actually the sensible thing to do is basically kind of do what the guys do on tour. So those guys always walk, and they must do that for a reason. But they're not going to carry their golf bags, because ultimately you're out there to try and sort of shoot low scores and enjoy the game. And in no other sport would you compromise your performance by carrying a load of equipment with you. So if you for me, if you break it down like that, it seems a bit of a no-brainer that you should be doing all you can to enjoy the experience as much as possible and give yourself the best opportunity to shoot low scores. So clearly I'm extremely biased in this, I understand that, but from the engineer in me looks at this logically and says, well, this is kind of obvious, isn't it? This is a great way of playing. The experience is really nice because, like you said, you're hands-free the majority of the time, and then you can get the exercise that you want, but enjoy the game and hopefully shoot some low scores.
Well, Mark, I know that one question people are going to have is, if this thing's remote and I'm sort of controlling it by remote control, how do I keep it out of the creeks, the ponds, crashing into trees, out of the traps, the bunkers, or having it run down the hill into the fescue weeds that are waist high?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, that's really the beauty of the two or three modes. So we always talk about the three modes of manual, i.e. holding onto the handle, remote control, which you've got a 50-yard range at least on the remote control, and there's right in the center of the handset is a big red stop button. So if you've set it off on a remote control, and then actually, I mean, and I do this, you're not concentrating, you're talking to a friend or looking for a ball or something, and then you catch out of the corner of your eye that it's heading towards the bunker or the water or something, but put your finger on the red button and it will stop. But this is the whole thing, that you use the particular mode for the circumstance. So if you're walking down the fairway and there's nothing to hit, then put it on follow and just enjoy the walk for a bit. But then outside of that, you've got remote control with a 50 yard range, and you've got left, so you can speed the product up, you can slow it down, you can go left, right, and really put it exactly where you want. And this is actually one of the cool things that where we think actually it can speed up play as well as reduce sort of unnecessary steps is, if you're, so hopefully you've played your second shot, you're in the middle of the green, you know you're putting. From that point, so hopefully you're maybe 150 yards away, you can take a putter out of the golf bag. Then you can use the remote control side of it, send it off to the next tee, obviously negotiate any bunkers or paths that might be in your way, walk straight the line of your ball into the green, take your putts, and then walk straight over to the next tee. Whereas if you were using a carry bag or a push cart or whatever, you spend a lot of time walking around the green, putting your bag somewhere, taking your putter out, walking back to the putting surface, walking back to your bag, picking it all up, and then walking away. So actually, once you get used to the remote control and the follow and when to use them, actually it becomes a really efficient way to play golf. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, people still drop them in bunkers every now and again. It's one of those things. But normally, even though I've mentioned a 50-yard range a few times, actually 20 is probably about the useful limit. But it's great to have a longer range because if, say, you're looking for somebody else's golf ball, you can leave your electric caddy out on the fairway. You can. It's really easy to be 50 meters away before you've gone, oh, Archie, great, I found the ball. Oh, and I need to bring my clubs over to me now. And you can just turn around and use the remote and bring it over rather than either having to take your clubs with you everywhere or having to run back and go and get them and go back and forth. So, yeah, it really comes down to the fact that you've got this control, and it all comes from the handset. The handset is the size of, I guess, a sort of a small mobile phone. Maybe it's 3/4 of an inch thick or so, but is I think it only weighs... I don't know what it'd be. It's 110 grams or so. So I don't know what that is in pounds and ounces, but it's light anyway. So you keep that on you all the time, and you can just control it and put it wherever you like.
Well, Mark, let me ask you this. Have you been able to make some more, shall we say, technological advancements to the remote in recent months or a year or so without it, you know, getting too technical for the average person, but allowing the, you know, allowing the trolley to do more things and work in a comfortable manner for the golfer?
Yeah, I mean, so we always come back to the fact that although we're in the golf industry and we make golf products, basically we're an engineering company and a manufacturing company. So we never think that we've got the product right. So we know it's really, really good, but we always know that actually, you know what, there's always something that we can improve on this. Same as most companies, to be honest. We're always working on making things better and improving them. There's always something in the pipeline that's coming out that obviously I can't talk about those things. But what we focus on all the time is making the systems better, making the follow more reliable is the wrong word, but more consistent, perhaps. So it becomes more and more robust. And also what we do with the remote control itself, everything gets tuned better. We even ourselves, because we manufacture everything ourselves. So everything comes from the UK. We have a factory there with 35 people all every day trying to work out how to do things better. So because we've got that closeness to the product, as opposed to a lot of the other brands that are out there, which will be buying containers from China and sort of they don't see it every day like we do, that we are always trying to make it better. So the net result of that is always that obviously we put a lot of emphasis on our own technology and how it works, but the result should actually be that the customer just has a good experience. So that's always the trick, is trying to make it so that as the user, you don't need to read the manual. I mean, obviously, we recommend that people do, clearly. But really, we try and make it as accessible as we can. So it's often actually one of the questions that gets asked, because obviously I talk about these different modes and how you use it, and it can actually sound a lot more complicated than it is. Like we did today, we've been out and played 18 holes. And in most cases, by the time we get to the turn, we've actually stopped talking about the product. So normally it's somewhere sort of between sort of five sometimes holes and sometimes a little bit longer. But certainly within a round, most people that use it for the first time have got it nailed. So generally, so obviously I'm in the States at the moment, and we're traveling around and doing demos